Greetings, brothers and sisters. It's Pastor Bob. And it's still Tuesday. It's noon Pacific time. It's about 3:14 on our Tuesday, August 10th. And I apologize for the late delivery. But I think the quality of the delivery will make up for its lateness. Amen. Let's find out. Today's Daily Respite, episode 2, by the way, comes from a personal favorite of mine. I feel it's kind of like a treasure I found. It's a daily devotional called Adventure Is Out There. Adventure Is Out There by Drew Lugenbuehl. And the reason I like this devotional so much is it's like it's written by a dad, you know, who has all the issues of kids and spouses and work and marriage, every day, 365 days a year, those issues are right in front of him, those challenges. And he gives us a devotional for every day of living that ordinary, busy, love-filled life that we have with our family and kids and grandkids and relatives and close friends, really. So that's why I like it. On August 10th, Drew Lugenbuehl offers us this devotional for today. He calls it Non-Believing Wedlock. Non-Believing Wedlock. And maybe this is written just for you. He begins with a Bible verse. It's from the Old Testament book called 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25. And this is around the time of King Ahab and his Jezebel, right? And here's the verse, 1 Kings 21, 25. There was none who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, whom Jezebel, his wife, incited. Drew Lugenbuehl says, the woman on your arm is more powerful than you think. Technically, that statement works both ways. Your spouse has a lot of influence over you. And though some would argue against that notion, the bottom line is, they do. For Ahab, in 1 Kings, that woman was Jezebel. For those of you who don't know, Ahab was listed as one of the most evil kings in Israel's history. And at his side stood Jezebel. She, Jezebel, created a political system out of a religion. She named whoever she liked to be a priest and worshipped several different kinds of idols. What was the prerequisite of the religion she created? Simply telling them what they wanted to hear. Now that's a worldly religion, isn't it? Simply telling them what they wanted to hear. If you spoke only good things about the king and queen, then by golly, you were in. Preach against them, and they would hunt you down and try to kill you. Perhaps you've heard of Elijah, the prophet. Elijah was famous during their time. Now, I can't fully speak to marriage, Drew Lugenbuehl says, since I'm unmarried, but there are some important lessons to be learned from Ahab and Jezebel. First, you should take great care in choosing a spouse. If you're in that position, know that marriage is a serious thing when it comes to opening yourself up. Opening up to the wrong person can have serious repercussions. Be careful that your marriage is formed on the Word of God and not just feelings of love. Be careful for any of you that are married or planning on it out there. Be careful. Amen. The track record of marriage in our culture in the last several decades is abysmal, discouraging, depressing, be careful that your marriage is formed on the Word of God and not just feelings of love. Also, second, Ahab is a great example of someone who married a non-believer and then strayed away from God himself. Ahab knew better. And if you read his whole story, you'll understand that he knew that, but he chose not to listen. I'm not saying we should stay away from non-believers either. I'm saying we need to be wise about whom we marry. And besides marrying a non-believer, will lead to trouble down the road. Think about it like this. If you have kids, will they go to church? You know, sidebar from Pastor Bob, kids in church is such a deep issue for me, and I hear from so many good and great parents about why they're not in this church or why they couldn't be in that church or what was said to them in this church. And these are parents who have kids in the critical years of, say, 8 to 14, critical 6-7 years there, that kids should be in church. Now, I don't know why that works that way, but the evidence is clear. 8 to 14-year-olds in church, for whatever reason it might be, God, have much better outcomes statistically than kids not in church. It's not a guarantee and it's not a perfect correlation. But man, if I was raising kids in this culture during these times, I would look at the research and I'd find a church for my kids. Not just a church where they'll have a great social life and plenty to do on Sunday or Wednesday nights, but a church where they will come to know Jesus Christ, and they'll come to know him because they're surrounded by people who love like Christ, and they learn to know Christ's love is different than the other kinds of love this world is offering to them in their personal life, and they come to cherish the love of Christ in their life before they ever turn 14. And they may not be able to articulate it. They may not even really understand it. But boy, if I had a kid who was going to be turning 15 soon in the next 5 to 6 years, I'd get him in church. Well, there's my sermon for the day. Let's go back to Drew Lugenbuehl and finish up his devotional. So, second, as he was saying, about marrying someone who is a non-believer. Think about it like this, he says. If you have kids, will they go to church? If your spouse doesn't go, they may want to have a say in whether or not their child goes. That's something you should be careful about. And third, how do you expect to grow in Christ when you can't have spiritual conversations with your spouse? If they have no interest in God, then you can't have a deeper discussion about a sermon or a passage. You probably aren't praying together either, which means your spiritual bond is dry. It could be dead. You got to be careful about who you're married to. But I love her. No. Maybe you're attracted to her physically. She'll change. I'm sure of it. And that's great if she does. But what if she doesn't? After all, the choice is hers. You just don't want me to be happy. Happiness is a short-term feeling. I want you to have long-term joy in your spouse. It isn't an easy decision to let go of someone you've started growing close to, especially on a romantic level. However, it is sometimes the only way to protect our hearts. Amen. Here's the takeaway from our devotion today. Have you dated a non-believer? What was it like? Could you have spiritual discussions, or were they not interested? Remember that God told the Israelites to only marry Israelites for a reason. He knew a spouse could quickly turn your heart from him. Let me leave you with these thoughts. What a wonderful devotion, by the way. So unique and contemporary, personal. Are you a believer yourself? Let's start with that question today. Or are you a non-believer? And think about what the evidence would be on both sides of that comparison. What evidence for being a believer and what for being a non-believer? Now, I can tell you this from personal experience. You need a spouse who can learn to love you like Christ. You deserve that. God wants you to have that. And God also wants you to be that spouse to your spouse. You know, the one who loves the other like Christ. There are some things to reflect on today. And until tomorrow, with your next daily respite, it's Pastor Bob from the House of Peace. Amen.